Hi, this is Rhonda Carmen with All the Best Blog. I am here today in New York with one of my favorite people and fellow Southerners, Brad Ford. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. This is so much fun. I've been following your blog for a while now, and you have done an amazing job. We've been talking a bit today about social networking and using Twitter and using the blog to promote design and to promote designers, and Brad has done a really super job. I thought I was doing well with 1,100 Twitter followers, and he's got 3,000. So maybe tell us, I mean, I'd love to sort of hear how you got started and why you started using the blog and Twitter.
I actually sort of got into blogging purely by accident. I started it really to sort of catalog things that I found inspiring. Mm-hmm. There's so much information and product out there, and it's sort of sometimes hard to sort of keep track of. So I thought, you know, I'll start a blog and just, you know, talk about things that I like.
Now, was it was it more for you personally?
Or at the beginning, it was.
Right,
It was for me. It was. I started thinking about that I needed to create like an inspiration board for mm-hmm. myself. I was sort of down in the dumps with just where things were going in the design industry, and I thought about just making an inspiration board mm-hmm. with things that I loved, just to sort of reignite my passion. And then I had heard so much about blogs, and I thought, well, let me check it out. And when I started looking into it, I thought, you know, this is something I could just sort of go to when I wanted to and post about things that I found inspiring. And I had actually purchased the domain name designtherapy.com, mm-hmm. believe it or not, back in 1999.
Really?
Yep. And I just really liked the name, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it.
I think most of us, that's how it starts.
Exactly, exactly. And so fast forward to last summer, and checking into a blog, and I started talking to a computer programmer about how I could actually use the name Design Therapy and incorporate it into my blog. And anyway, I quickly realized that, you know, people were interested in what I was posting mm-hmm. about, and that it could actually be a really clever way to sort of promote my business.
Absolutely.
And with that in mind, I had resisted Facebook for, you know, months because
I did too.
I think I had the same anxiety that a lot of people did, you mm-hmm. know, are people going to find me that I don't want to be friends with and I don't want to be rude.
Right. It's tricky, isn't it?
It's very tricky.
It is.
But I started to realize that that was also a platform that I could promote the blog, mm-hmm. which the blog, I realized, would start to promote my business. Mm-hmm. And so I think one thing, and I spoke about this last week, I was on a panel talking about social networking and design last week with Michael Bruno from First Dibs mm-hmm. and Jonathan Adler. And I was talking about the fact that, you know, for interior designers especially, or anyone in the design field, your website is pretty static unless you're constantly updating it with project photos. You know, it pretty much stays the same. And with a blog, the content's constantly changing, so it's much more dynamic. And if you have, you know, people that are interested, they'll come back, you know, to see what you're going to talk about next. It also, you know, gives you an opportunity to talk about things that, you know, really define your perspective or your point of view.
That's very personal, and I think, too, being in this field and then being able to drive clients or potential clients to your blog, if they read it on a regular basis, and you know this from the blogs you read and as well as the blogs I read, you mm-hmm. actually feel like you know that person. Mm. You know, it's something about it you feel like, well,
it's very personal.
You know, we've met only a handful of times,
right.
But through blogs and email, I feel like I know something more about you.
Oh, absolutely.
Than if I were to just look at you in a magazine or look at your work or look at a website. It does give you that personal connection. Which I think is really, really valuable in what you do when you're, because it must be a very, very personal relationship you have to build with clients
right.
when you go into
their absolutely.
Home.
Absolutely. And also, you know, again, going back to like a regular website, you know, you've got certain projects on there. And you may not be 100% happy with all of the content that you've got on your portfolio. And a blog gives you an opportunity to sort of say, okay, this is what I've done. This is what potentially I could do for you. This is the direction I'd love to see something go in. And like I said, it just gives you another opportunity to sort of define your point of view.
Well, and because it's dynamic and it isn't static, it does, you know, it gives people that feeling that you're doing things. And even though most designers are always doing things, it shows you sort of in motion what you're doing, you know, and what's coming up and what you're working on next. And it's just, it's fascinating. And then when you put all these other elements into it, such as the Twitter and such as Facebook.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, and as you and I were saying, it's a learning curve, and sometimes it feels like the Wild West out there, and you don't really know what you're doing. And some days I feel like I'm just a train, and I'm laying down track as fast as I can, and it's all getting ahead of me. But you've done a really good job with it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think people understand yet the value of social networking.
Absolutely.
And how you can start to really market yourself and build a brand. And I'm still learning that, to tell you the truth. I mean, I resisted for, you know, a year to 2 years with joining Facebook, just because, you know, I think I had the same anxiety that a lot of people have, which is, you know, not wanting certain people to find you or you know, letting people in too much into your life.
And you have to find that balance with Facebook. You know, I've had to learn too. Is it personal? Is it business? Is it both? You know, so I've now tried to set up my personal account and set up an all the best, you know, profile. But it's tricky. I think it's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah, but it gives you an opportunity to drive traffic to the blog, which will hopefully eventually drive traffic back to your website, so that, you know, you get more exposure, which in this business, I think that's what it's all about, is getting as much exposure as you can to either, you know, try to woo potential clients or develop sort of a identity or a reputation as an industry leader, which could then have value if you were interested in brand development, which, you know, I certainly am wanting to sort of explore some of those opportunities.
And I think, you know, it's such a valuable tool. And even the Twitter, when I first started doing it, I thought it was the silliest thing in the world. I thought, well, who in the world cares if I'm having a cup of coffee?
Right.
But then when you realize, you do those little things to make it fun and make it personal, but the bottom line is you're trying to drive people back to your blog or to your website and just give them another level of who you are and what you're all about. And so, you know, maybe you do tell them you're going to have a cup of coffee, and it's kind of fun because then it puts, again, that personal side to you. But also to be able to reach people around the world is just...
Well, and I think of Twitter as being like the much more casual version of Facebook. And it offers you sort of a behind-the-scenes look into... what's happening with either your business or your personal life. I try to keep it mostly dedicated towards my business. But, you know, an example is if you were installing a project and you could sort of tweet about the process itself, then, you know, that could direct people to your Facebook account where you might have some pictures of what's happening with the installation. Then, you know, with that, you could eventually end up on the blog with actual, you know, photographs of the finished product as a tease to the overall project that would eventually end up on your website.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's when you don't get it, and I didn't get it for a while, it seems almost like a disconnect. And then when you realize that you can use all of these to link everything back to the bigger picture, really fascinating.
I mean, between having a website, a Facebook account, a Twitter account, and a blog, they're all four very different, but they're all working together to sort of drive traffic to one another to, like I said, eventually get back to your website, which is promoting your services.
So. Well, and it's fun too. And I think, you know, for better or for worse, we all kind of want to know what people are doing and what they're up to. You know, it's why we read People magazine and because, you know, we just kind of like that.
We're curious.
We are. And so I think that's the fun thing about the blogs and about Twitter and Facebook. It just, it puts a name and a face together and makes it real. And, you know, you're, like I said, you're a perfect example. There's so many people that I really feel like I know.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am sitting, you know, in my room in Scotland, and yet I feel like I have all these real connections to people.
It's amazing.
And it's crazy. And my parents think it's the strangest thing in the world, you know, that I have all these friends. And, you know, the other night I kept saying, oh, that's my Facebook friend. It's my Facebook friend. But it really feels like a friend. And I think that is something that, as you learn to capitalize on it, and not capitalized in a bad way, but really it does make it a really special relationship that you can build with people.
Well, Ron, I think you just hit on something. Is, you know, what you're doing also is you are developing these relationships, but anytime you have a relationship, you're also building trust.
Right.
And, you know, in your situation, and we were talking about this earlier, there's a lot of value with some of these relationships you're forming, and people are developing a level of trust with you so that if you were to say, you know, I really think that this brand is worth knowing about, there's a lot of value in that, and you need to figure out how to monetize that.
I know.
What we were talking about, sort of feeling like we were in the Wild West. Yeah. Is, you know, it's a really crazy time, but it's so exciting, and yeah. I think there's so much, you know, possibility out there.
No, and I think you're right. I think with the blog, especially, it does feel really, really personal, and it's your name out there, and it's your face.
Oh, you have to be careful too.
And yeah, and so you do want to build trust, and you want people to you know, trust what you do and what you say, and you have to really be careful. You've done. I'm impressed with what you've done, especially your Twitter followers. I'm jealous of your numbers. You've done really, really well.
Well, one thing I was going to say, though, also when you mentioned that was, and Michael Bruno made this point last week when we were on a panel discussion, was you also have to be careful because, you know, this is out there for everyone to see. And it stays out there. So, you know, be careful before you sort of get too far into it, because you want to make sure that you don't make a fool of yourself.
Yes, I know. We've all, you know, at least I know early on I did a couple of posts and I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that post. And the good thing is I can go take them off if I need
right,
to.
But exactly.
But you do learn. You do
exactly.
learn.
Exactly.
So you have been really, really busy lately.
Oh, incredibly busy, which is great. But, you know, obviously last year was a little bit of a scary time for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to be working on several projects that I was sort of right in the middle of. And they just kept moving forward, which was good. And then different opportunities sort of presented themselves, you know, different events. I did DIFA's Dining by Design in the spring, which was a lot of fun, a lot of work, and the table I created ended up going on a national tour for all the other cities that were involved in that, which was nice. From that event, I was signed up to do the Hamptons Designer Show House.
And you
which
did
was
the porch.
I did a screen and porch,
which was fabulous.
Which was I love the way it turned out. I have to tell you. When I first went to the house and looked at all the rooms, I immediately had a connection with that screened-in porch. First of all, I just thought the views were stunning. And I thought to myself, you know, you could literally put a folding chair in that room,
and
it would look great. So I knew that was the room I wanted to do. And so then I had a couple of photo shoots on top of that, and then with the blog, and then just trying to keep, you know, my projects moving forward. It's just been a little nutty.
Yeah, and your country living piece that you did.
Oh, right,
your,
right, right.
Your,
oh,
your
yeah,
parents,
well, that was,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually, so, it was a lot of work, but it was so rewarding.
Well, it was fun, too, because, well, you can, for those who haven't seen it, you can tell, but you had to get really creative and do some really
absolutely.
Creative stuff on a very
absolutely.
Tight
yeah, country
budget.
Living contacted yeah. me and with this idea of renovating my parents' guest house in a week's time with a budget of $3,200. And my parents had actually gotten this house from, it was actually their very first house that they ever owned when they got married. And this was over 50 years ago. And then my dad found out that it was actually going to be either torn down or, you know, sold. Mm-hmm. And so he offered to buy it for $1 and have it lifted off its foundation and brought to my parents' current property and just set in the back of the property and then turn it into a guest house. Well, Country Living loved that backstory and, you know, came up with this idea of doing a makeover. But, you know, the town I'm from is a little more than 20,000 people. It's not a big town. And there's some nice resources, but obviously not the resources that we have here in New York.
Right.
And it's a, you know, relatively small house. So just, you know, with those program requirements of 1 week, $3,200 with limited resources, it was a challenge, I'm not going
to
lie.
But you lived up to it. And, you know, the thing about it, it's always nice. I mean, we all want to see those, you know, inspirational or aspirational homes mm-hmm. that, you know, we really want to have one day. But the truth of the matter is most people, especially, you know, now most people are going to be on a budget. And to right. see, of course, this is your background. This is what you do. But I think it sort of inspires people to say, okay, so I'm in the middle of, you know, the country.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but I can, you know, I can be resourceful. I can right. do this. And so I thought it was fantastic. I mean, of course, I loved the story. I thought mm-hmm. you did a fantastic job. But I thought also, too, it was sort of a practical, you know, I don't know if a week's practical, but right. but the doing it on a budget, I thought was
great. Oh, absolutely.
Great. And it looked wonderful.
Well, thank you. And I think that was, you know, you could take that one element away of the week, because I think we all have more, I'd like to think that we have more time to dedicate towards a project. But you, the fact that it was on a budget, there, I was amazed at the resources that were available either online or, you know, just traveling an hour away to Little Rock, where there were much more resources with, you know, Pottery Barn and Target. I mean, you know, there are some incredible products out there now that aren't, you know, super expensive and are very sophisticated. So
I think that's the great thing, too, about these design blogs and designers like yourself writing blogs is that it does, I think it does two things. I think, one, it helps people to see how you can mix the high and the low. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I think it also helps people realize that there is a need for designers. Mm-hmm. I'm not a designer. I have a good eye. I know what
right.
I like. You can ask my husband. I'm very spatially challenged. I'll mm-hmm. say, what do you mean it won't fit in there?
Right.
Of course it'll fit in there.
Right.
You know, I certainly see the intrinsic value in having designers. Mm-hmm. And I do think the blogs give you a chance to sort of, I don't want to say prove yourself, but it does in a way to people who say, oh, well, why do you need a designer?
Mm-hmm.
It helps you realize there's so much more involved in it.
Oh, I know. We have been talking about that a lot lately is, I think that there's always going to be a need for interior designers. You know, some people are worried about some of the big box stores, like even Restoration Hardware, sort of making it much easier for people to do it themselves. And people have become more sophisticated and a little more savvy over the years with design. But at the end of the day, they may know that they love a particular sofa, but like you said, being spatially challenged, there's so many other elements to think about in creating a you know, a beautiful room, and scale and color and light. Those are all things that, you know, are a little bit tricky.
And that's what you do. And I, you know, I, you know, people have asked me before about my blog, and I, you know, I just admire people who are creative and who have that entrepreneurial spirit. And I sort of see my blog as sort of a platform to promote those people, because mm-hmm. I wish that I could do it, you know, because
right.
I know what I like, but it's so much more difficult than just knowing what you like and making it all come together. So anything that, you know, I think I can do to help continue to promote people mm-hmm. in the creative fields, I'm happy to do it, and that's really what I see my blog doing.
Mm-hmm.
So anything new or exciting coming up?
Just working on several new projects, which are, you know, really exciting, but it's so time consuming. And I'll be honest, Rhonda, I'm just trying to sort of sit still for a minute. This summer was absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a good problem to have. And you know, I am going to High Point this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. It's my first time. I'm really interested in, you know, starting to think about product development and licensing, and I just want to go there and start to do my homework and meet some manufacturers and talk to some people. And I am talking to a few people here in the city also. And so that's really exciting. I love interior design, but I'd like to try to figure out other avenues that I can explore that are related, but that, you know, also would offer some, you know, financial gain.
Right.
Which
well,
would be
I
nice.
Think, you know, I think you are well on your way. You definitely, you just seems like your name's out there more and more, and you're getting bigger and bigger.
You.
And so.
Well, and you know, so much of that I'll have to say is because of the blog. It's just an amazing way to sort of gain exposure and market yourself and sort of do it in a really sly way.
Yeah.
you know.
Well, you've done a great job. Well, I'm so glad that you that we've been able to, like I said, we've talked on the phone, but it was great to actually sit down and do this.
Oh, gosh, I know.
In person.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for doing it.